Buckle up your seatbelt, stretch those legs, and grab those shiny gold bolts, because we are on the road to greatness. I am your host, Kyle Stevenson, a.k.a. Mr. K-Step, and as always, I am joined on this never-ending road trip called life with my best friend, Mr. Joseph Moran, a.k.a. Mr. Bad Bit. Tonight's destination is the PlayStation 5 exclusive, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart. Before we get into Ratchet & Clank, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm really tired.
Yeah, man. Me too. Yeah.
And it's not anything to do with this game or anything. It's the weather. Absolutely not. It's so hot. It's draining everything.
It's oppressive.
Yeah. It really is.
And it's like people probably living like in Arizona or someplace that has like the dry heat and humidity most of the year are probably listening to this. I'm like, Kyle, Joe, you guys have it easy. Yeah, well, I'm large and in charge, and I don't like it. I'd rather also, be bundled up in blankets. Also, I didn't choose to live
in Arizona, you know? Move to better states. I can list, I don't know, 13 right off the top of my head better than Arizona. 13.
Go.
So, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Boston, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Georgia, Virginia, North Carolina. I love Tennessee.
Last time I checked, Boston is not a state, Joe.
Did I say Boston? Sorry. I blame Sean Capri because they were talking about PAX East. That's fair.
Okay.
The city state of Boston, Michigan. Let's go back to city states. Honestly, that was a way cooler idea.
Yeah.
All right. And then we band together, but like it's kind of like a country, but it's like, who knows? Maybe if I'm not feeling it,
we'll some make uneasy alliances are happening.
Surfship. Let's bring that back. Whatever. What was wrong with it?
Let's not bring.
What's
back
wrong with earning your keep?
No. You know? But speaking about city states, there are a bunch of different universes in Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Mm-hmm. Ratchet and Clank, I don't know about your history with it, Joe, which we'll get into in a second, but Ratchet and Clank is some of my favorite platformers ever made. Played them back from when they started on PS2 and PS3 and the remake on PS4. Now we're here in a brand new generation with a brand new Ratchet and Clank. The first, like, truly, besides Demon's Souls, the first, like, big, huge blowout of this is what the PS5 can do from a PlayStation Studios title. So, Joe, what is your history with Ratchet and Clank before Rift Apart?
Great question, man. My history with Ratchet and Clank lies with the PlayStation 2, the good old days. Up Your Arsenal. What a title. Ooh. What a name for, like, subtitles to these games, first and foremost.
Yeah. Full Frontal Assaults.
Yeah, this is like the first non-sexualized title.
Quest for Booty.
Yeah, it's like, good on you. Good on you, because in this day and age, I don't think that would have passed. That said, Up Your Arsenal is my first into the series. I remember going to my friend Connor's house, playing that game, absolutely loving it, and then begging my mother, begging her to go to GameStop and buy me this Ratchet and Clank game. And I remember playing, for the most part, all the PS2 games after that. And then the PS3 hit. And as everybody should know by now, I was a 360 kid for most of that generation. So I missed out on whatever Ratchet and Clanks were afterwards.
Some of the best ones or the best ones are on PS3, actually.
Is it really?
A Crack in Time is generally considered to be the best Ratchet and Clank game.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Until today.
The only one that I had never played and I always wanted to is the spinoff of Secret Agent Clank on PSP. That was the only one that I missed. Same thing for, like, on the Jak and Daxter side, the Daxter-only game as well. That was, I think, a PSP. I missed that on the Sidekick games, which sucks. But
I remember working at GameStop, pulling those UMDs up and go, whoa.
Yeah, right?
Okay. These exist?
This is a choice. This is a choice.
Bold. Taking the best parts of these games and just removing them. And
you know what that reminded me of?
What?
Besides the games, like the games, sure, I can see them using UMDs. But when it came to like movies or TV shows, it reminded me of Hit Clips back in the day.
Oh my God.
Where it would just be like 30 seconds of like a hot popular song. Like, I think they had like Family Guy, like six episodes on a UMD or something like that.
Oh my God, you're hitting me back, dude. The original GIF, if you really want to think hard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, the second title from Insomniac on PS5 already. Spider-Man Miles Morales was cross-gen PS4, PS5, but Insomniac doing a whole lot of work already on in the PS5 this generation.
Yeah.
What a smart move by PlayStation, if we can put our Sony pony hats on.
Sure.
Just buying up Insomniac. It's like, come on home. You've earned it. Let's make your games part of the PlayStation Studios lineup, and I am so thankful they did, because this Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart is, spoiler alert, stellar.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah, this might be the most Sony pony-esque show we've done. Oh yeah, because for sure. Honest to goodness, I mean, we got our paycheck from Game Pass. I mean, whoops, we got it.
What?
It's time to get paid from PlayStation today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter's been great. But honestly, I have, like, spoiler alert, nothing negative to say about this game.
Sure, yeah. I mean, likewise, for sure.
It's great.
Having more of a, like, passive relationship with Ratchet, I would say, in your case, Joe, where you haven't played them all.
Yeah.
What did you think of the story, right? Because when I think of Ratchet and Clank, I don't think of the story or the plot per se. I just have a great time. It's very much a popcorn kind of movie kind of game. Was anything that happened plot wise stand out to you in Rift Apart? Yes,
Kit is the best part of this game, and I thought while playing it, oh crap, Kyle's gonna get emotional at some Kit parts.
Oh, absolutely did.
Yeah.
Absolutely did. Yeah, spoiler alert. I did.
Like this, I'm going to be honest with you, Kyle, and this is where I get really crazy. This is better written than most modern Pixar stuff that we've gotten. Like, and even down to like animations. Like, I watched Luca the other day and I was like, I guess this looks great. I guess the story is okay, even for like a kid's thing. And then I watched, what's the dragon movie on for? It was
How to Train Your Dragon.
No. It's the Disney one. It's like Ara and the
Raya. Raya's dope.
Raya. Yeah. That's how memorable that was to me. And so, oh like,
my God, Joe, are you crazy? Don't sidetrack me on Raya. Raya's great.
Okay. And so,
ouch.
But like, I was just like, ouch. Wow. Like while watching these, it was like the animation. Don't get me wrong, they're better because this is a movie production, but not by much of what you're doing here. And the story, and I'll say it, the characters are far more relatable in this game than what you see in most modern day cinema. And what, Insomniac's been able to achieve even.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm with you there. I think when I think of this game, Ratchet and Clank had some great moments, including Clank dropping an F-bomb that was censored. That was a great moment in this game. I forgot
what part was that. I just remember. I think it was like the like a dinosaur or
I think the bone Grunthor came out, the skeleton version, and Clank just says fuck and it just censored out, but you can clearly tell what he says. It's so good. It's
oh, by the way, gang, sorry about that, we're spoiling this whole thing.
Oh yeah, it's the road's greatest.
It's in the title now. It's in the title. Yeah. You know it. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah, wait, Clank dropped that. That's fantastic. But when I think of this game, I instantly go to Kit and Rivet. I think you mentioned Kit, I'll mention Rivet. Jennifer Hale's performance as Rivet is, my God, it's amazing. Yeah. It brought Ratchet and Clank to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. Having another Lombax that's going through the same stuff as Ratchet, but in a different form, in a different way.
Yeah.
The undertone, maybe not even undertone at times, they pretty much just had it out there, but the whole dealing with being broken,
mm-hmm.
with Kit, with Rivet, with Clank, even with Ratchet to some extent, with him not having not wanting to go meet the other Lombaxes and being hesitant with the Dimensionator or whatnot. The theme of being broken and dealing with it and being broken doesn't necessarily mean you're less than is awesome. And I even when it comes to the villain, Dr. Nefarious, who we faced in previous games, the moment that the Nefarious you're used to dealing with is taken out, and the Emperor Nefarious comes in, who I thought was much stronger of a villain and way more menacing than the Nefarious we know and love. All the characters are fantastic, and that's not even to mention like the little side characters. Like we mentioned on the show, the Morts, where they're all named Mort, and they're all like these little squirrel gerbil looking things.
They're all from Minnesota, another state, that's
and they love than lemonade.
Arizona. Yeah. Oh my god, so good.
Mrs. Zircon, who is now the weapons vendor, Fantastic, who's like a spy along with you, is great. Walking up into Mr. Zircon's bar, and he's a bartender, and he's just that's where all the unsavory people go to his planet, just go hang out at his bar and fight in the pit. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Even Captain Quark's counterpart, who I'm blanking. Ooh. Captain Quantum, maybe?
Yes. Yeah.
Another great version of Quark, who a palette swap. He's all red in a red suit, and he's very much not as boastful. He's a little bit more timid when it comes to like doing hero stuff, and less of a dick than Captain Quark is, I'll be honest. But
still full of himself in a different sort of way.
Absolutely.
And who's the French pirate? God,
Pierre.
Pierre. Who is he supposed to be from the regular games?
I want to say Rusty.
Rusty, okay. Because... say his name again so I remember.
Pierre.
He is my favorite, like, secondary character.
Pierre Lefebvre.
He's my second favorite character, my favorite secondary character in this game. He cracks me up so much. Like, every scene he's chewing
Rusty it up. Pete is his counterpart.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah, they play with... They play with turning characters that you've known and are accustomed to and comfortable with and really just flipping them upside down or just giving them, you know, positions of power they're usually not in or taking away some, like, for Quantum's sake, right?
For sure.
Love it. Sorry. You continue.
So the story is very much popcorn. Just sit back, relax, have a good time. You're basically trying to stop Dr. Nefarious from... or let me take that back. The game starts as Ratchet and Clank, and they are being honored as heroes and everything that you've done in past games, and you're in this parade with big balloons and you get to hop on. The spectacle is there for sure. And Dr. Nefarious shows up to steal the Dimensionator, which was a gift Clank was going to give to Ratchet, to finally go and find the other Lombaxes, because Ratchet, if you don't know, is the only Lombax left, as far as we knew. And then Nefarious takes it. He breaks. The Dimensionator breaks pretty much, and dimensions are popping up everywhere, and they get lost in time. When they show up to it's not Sargasso, the first city.
I'll look it up. So what I do, Kyle, is I like to play the game or watch the game.
I can see it in the reflection of your of your artwork.
So I'm looking at gameplay. Coruscant 5, Nefarious.
There it is. Yeah. Well, when you get there, Clank and Ratchet get split due to a little explosion with the Dimensionator. Rivet finds Clank. Rivet is the Ratchet version in her own world, and she's trying to take down Nefarious, but she's never won, While Ratchet has always beaten Nefarious, Rivet has not. She's failed every single time. And she finds Clank and she runs away with it. And then it becomes a race of Ratchet trying to get back to Clank and Rivet doing her own thing, trying to stop Nefarious. And it, they all end up meeting at some point and and going on.
It's cool because so the reason why, you know, Rivet isn't beating this Nefarious is she doesn't have her sidekick. She doesn't have her equivalent of Ratchet, of who's level-headed. So she's very headstrong. That's all she is. And because she's lost so much, she doesn't really trust, you know, Clank because of what she finds when you know, when they enter that rift. And so, like, it's a little bit of her having to break down, or maybe even Clank breaking down those barriers of trust for Rivet. And you could see that when Ratchet isn't with Clank, he begins to second guess himself. Mm-hmm. And he's worried about his friend. And even to the point where when he finds Rivet and Clank, he's like, oh no, did he find a new friend? Am I like replaced?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Which I definitely felt as the player, like, oh no, is Clank really gonna leave Ratchet and go with Rivet because Ratchet and Clank have done everything they can together? Like that was a big fear. Like, I was worried about that, honestly. Yeah. And then good old Kit came along, Joe. The Kit was the apprentice, I guess, or the buddy to Gary. Another great character. Mm-hmm. Gary is just this zenned out surfer yoga dude who is protector of time. And what's the thing called where all the important documents are that they're holding? I think it starts with an A, I think.
We'll call it
a giant library. Yeah. A giant library, which I can't remember.
I've been watching a lot of Loki, and I got the VGA. What is it, the VA or whatever in my head? Go for
VGA.
It.
Yeah. They run into Kit, and Kit kind of helps Ratchet out on that planet, and then she's very unsure about herself. She definitely wants to be alone because she's afraid of hurting other people. Because there are flashbacks during the end where all the enemy ships are coming in. She turns into this basically giant killer robot.
She's the Hulk.
And she loses all control. Yeah, she's the Hulk.
Yeah.
She turns into the Hulk. And she doesn't want to turn into that and hurt Ratchet and hurt other people. So she's very much like, I don't need a team. I'm not worthy of a team. Very much how I feel in real life, honestly. And I think that's kind of where you were mentioning earlier, like, yeah, Kyle's going to cry at some points. Yeah. That's 100% where I started getting emotional because, like, I totally felt that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And she's an interesting character because she is very Hulkish. She's very much Bruce Banner. She's never had anyone. And her purpose is to hurt people. And that's why, you know, that's why she was made. And that first flashback where she's like, I killed a dude. I was like, whoa, fuck, we're dealing with death in this game? Okay. She's like, I shot someone trying to sneak away with this, and I'm living with that, you know? And I was like, oh, shit, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to turn into she shot Rivet?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Honestly, God.
I saw it coming a little bit.
I'm usually really good with it. Why?
Because Rivet's arm is the same color as Kit.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So I don't know if Rivet ever flat out said why it was yellow, her robot arm was yellow or whatnot. But to me, it felt like she made that as a reminder to not forget.
Okay.
Who did that to her in a way. Yeah. So when I saw that they were like the same shade of yellow, I was like, huh. That's interesting. They could have done it with any other color.
Yeah.
And they didn't, but yeah.
And having that scene of like, well, now I don't like you. You hurt me. Like, and them having to reconcile while working together and finding out that they are kind of the perfect pair, that they do actually at the end of the day need each other was a really awesome arc. This game is Rivet and Kit just disguised as a Ratchet and Clank game.
100%.
Because I saw some people, Kyle, go, oh, this is, you know, I feel bad for Rivet. This ain't her game. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You play like 70% of this game as Rivet.
This is more of a Rivet story than a Ratchet story.
And honestly, I was surprised that there wasn't people like, because I remember Halo 2 and Halo 5 are great examples of them saying, hey, you're the Master Chief. And then all of a sudden, Halo 2, you're playing half of the game as the Arbiter. And you're like, why am I playing as a Sam Heely? Fuck. I was shooting this guy in the last game. And then with Halo 5, they give you this like, ooh, lock in Master Chief. And then you play 10% of the game as the Master Chief. And everybody was pissed at that. So I was very surprised to see that. For the most part, positive consensus on this being really a mostly Rivet game.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to how the game plays, I think it's fantastic. It is exactly what I want from a Ratchet game. Fun weapons, tight platforming.
Yeah.
The only nitpick I have is I wish Rivet and Ratchet felt different. It makes sense that they don't, because they are literally the same version of the Lombax in different universes.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish there was a little bit more of a difference. And I did think it was a little cheap that anything you did with one character just automatically carried over to the other.
Oh, really? I actually...
Yeah.
Because so it's funny that we switched on this one. Because I remember when I watched the state of play, I'm like, oh, that's kind of sucks that they're not the same. Like, that they're just the same character for the most part.
Yeah.
I think that works to this game's benefit, because there could be a gun that you really like or a weapon you're using and that you're really digging. And if that's just taken away from you, that option, well, that sucks for you. You don't want that to feel... You don't want that. You want to have that weapon. Or you don't want the upgrade system to feel cheap. Like, I'm just earning this super fast just because. I felt the progression of weapons and how they level. Tying into the progression of Ratchet and Rivet being the same actually works really good for the feel of this game. Pacing-wise. Yeah.
Things that you can do in combat besides the weapons, you could also equip like armor that will give you buffs for like melee or extra experience or whatnot. I don't know about you, Joe, but I did not really use any of those because I liked the way that they looked.
Wait, say that again? I'm so sorry.
With their armor that you could
have
like little boosts with every set of armor you put on or whatnot.
Yeah, I just chose the armor that I really liked and just stuck with it. So like, yeah, for Rivet, I have like the Glacial Ranger, and for Ratchet, I have the Wasteland gear because I think that looks sick. And yeah, I was like, okay, this is what I like, and I'm keeping it.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. All right, that's cool.
So yeah, the benefits I didn't see anything.
Yeah, recently. when you unlock all three pieces, they'll give you a boost like plus 5% to XP, bonus raritanium when you collect it, or bonus bolts and whatnot.
Yeah, never
more damage that. Against pirates, I think it was the pirate gear one. What is your favorite weapon in the game?
So I got a lot. I got three. Can we name it? Because there's so many weapons.
Absolutely.
In this game.
Absolutely. There's a lot.
Okay.
I want to say there's
six
per wheel, right?
Eight per wheel. So there's
so 16, 8, 16, 20.
18, 19. Yeah, around like 19 or 20 weapons in this game. So for me, let me break it out here. My number one is the and let me try to pronounce this, the Large Negatron Collider. Man, this thing's awesome. This thing just feels great when you're holding it. Because, you know, we're going to boast about the DualSense. When you pull the trigger down halfway, it charges up the beam, the hand cannon, the Mega Man arm you got. And you see the gravity and electricity, just rocks lift up from the ground and surge to the weapon. And then when you shoot it out, it's this huge energy beam. And when you level it up to the max, you get this awesome splash damage as well. I really dug that. My second favorite gun is the Black Hole Storm. This is one you get late game. It's a minigun. And need I say more? You charge it up halfway, it revs everything up, right? Revs the cylinder. And then when you hold it down, it just feels great. It just feels great to shoot. And I love the particle effects of smoke out of the weapon as it's discharging the plasma shells. Awesome. Also deals a little AoE damage when it hits people. And then last but not leastly, I'd be remiss to talk about the headhunter, the sniper in this game.
I figured you would say that.
Because there is, I've said this on multiple shows. I'll say it here so that it is fact. This gun reminds me of the moment in Thor Ragnarok where you're introduced to the Grandmaster and you see Thor trapped in the chair and it's next to some dude and the dude's nervous. He finds out it's the Grandmaster's like nephew. And he's like, I'm so sorry, Grandmaster. I'm so sorry. Please pardon me. And the Grandmaster's like, sure. Yeah. I pardon you. He gets a stick. He's like, from life. And he just taps him and he just melts. He just
faints. Yeah.
That's the literal same effect you get when you shoot a headshot or critical damage or just kill anybody with this thing. They just disperse into pixels. Mm-hmm. Just a dust. It's like your Thanos snapped them. Awesome.
For sure.
Yeah, what are yours?
Yeah. First and foremost, shout out to the topiary sprinkler. Love just turning the enemies into just garden and plant life and get some extra damage here and there. I was expecting for me to say Mr. Fungi. I really was.
Yeah.
But I just not as good as Mr. Zircon
in past games. Yeah, Zircon's shit talk game is way better. I'll tell you.
Even though the upgraded one where you have Mr. and Mrs. Fungi shooting at the same time, it's pretty great. But so Topiary Sprinkler, I'm a big fan of the Pixelizer.
Oh, really? I hate this fucking thing.
I really, really dig it just because of the effect of it instantly turning enemies into like pixel retro game sprites.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it is it was going around on Twitter, but all that pixel retro noise is actually coming from the DualSense.
Really?
It's not coming from the TV. So when you shoot it, everything you hear is coming through the DualSense speaker.
No way.
Yeah, man.
Oh my God, you're right.
I thought it was coming from the TV too, but I'm like, nope, everything's through there, which is That's incredible. Awesome. But I think my favorite, and just because of how chaotic it is, it's the Warbots, where you just, the Doombots, where you just, it's like a grenade, you chuck them out, and you have all these just little minions that look like Clank a little bit, and they just go and wreak havoc, and they just chase them around, they'll follow you until they disappear, because the timer runs out. Incredible. Not great against flying enemies, but
worthless. Yeah.
If they land, they're done for. Because I always expended it all, so I had like 30 of them just running around constantly.
And honestly, there's only one gun that I never really used. That's the Ricochet.
I love that one too.
It was my jam, or the Cold Snap. Cold Snap.
Sucks. Cold Snap. I didn't use. I only used it because I'm people used into ice, to.
Ice cube.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm used to older games where one of the trophies is level up every weapon.
Yeah.
So I was constantly trying to get every weapon completely raised up high. But the other special weapon, and again, this is going to be spoilers. We're already in spoiler territory. The Rhino.
Yeah.
The Rhino is a special weapon after you unlock all the spy bots, which are like collectible things that you get for side missions, or you just find them in the world hidden elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The Rhino is super cool because it pulls in other items from other dimensions and drops them on enemies.
Yep.
It doesn't do as much damage as I thought it would be, but it's just so damn cool.
Yeah. They call it the Easter egg gun. Because and let me try to get to you. Keep talking because I have pictures.
So
of
for
it.
Example, there's a couple that I noticed when I was shooting. The Sunset Overdrive mascot is one that gets pulled in.
I flipped out when I saw that.
Yeah,
flipped. I was like, oh fuck, come on, give me this game.
I dropped the Sly Cooper van on an enemy, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah,
and then I was like, after I beat the game and I platinumed it, I was just like, all right, let's see what I can spawn from the Rhino. Because I still haven't seen the Uncharted one.
I dropped the Jeep the first time.
Okay, I didn't get to see that yet, but I got the Thunderjaw. I got the other robot from Horizon, which was the really Ravager, really cool.
I think it's called.
Yes. But I lucked out and I got both Sly Cooper himself and Jak and Daxter drop down one after another. And nice. I have a really cool screenshot of them just standing next to each other. Mm-hmm. What I lost my shit when I saw Jak and Daxter and Sly Cooper on my screen. I figured the van from Sly Cooper was all we were going to get. But to actually see those characters and see Jak and Daxter in the game, which was, I think, a lot of people's prediction that we would go to Jak and Daxter's world at some point in this. Really, really cool. I love that they did this.
Yeah, man. I got the mascot, and I'm blanking on the name, from Sunset Overdrive. First off, after finishing the
Overcharge,
this game,
right? I think Overcharge something.
No, it's something very
insomniac. It's the name of the drink.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But the I forget the mascot name. It makes me want to go back to this game 110%. I want to turn on my Xbox for it. Then I got
Fizzy.
What's that? Fizzy. There you go.
Fizzy. Yeah.
I got Jak and Daxter, Sly Cooper as well, which it looks like, real talk, they just ripped these straight for the PS2.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely what I loved. I loved it. I was like, oh my God, please, please make smaller studios to make these games, for the love of God. And I got all the Horizon stuff as well in the Sly van. It's that gun's really special, man.
So good. It's a nice little love letter. Yeah. The cool thing about Rift Apart is, and one of the big marketing things for it, and like to show it off in the state of plays or whatnot, is the ability to pull yourself with rifts to kind of all over the battlefield. Here's where I feel like I did this game a disservice. I barely used them.
Really?
I only used them for like platforming puzzles and to get to different areas or whatnot. I rarely hopped around while I was in battle.
Wow. Okay. I use that a lot. I use that all the time. That was something I was always traversing with those rifts. 110%. Yeah. And speaker witch, because your girls came in and interrupted you. Don't get aggravated at them.
Oh, I'm not aggravated. Okay, no.
But
no,
did they play it with you or watch you play it? How did they like it?
No, not yet. Not yet. I wanted to. Are we okay? I wanted to finish it for myself first, and then I'll show them later.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah. So, yeah. This game for me, like it is a love letter to my childhood as a kid. Like, I was constantly thinking about what it would be if Joe, you know, 10, 11-year-old Joe was playing this game today. And, like, just thinking, like, man, if I had, like, a little niece, little nephew, but preferably, like, if I had, like, a little niece, I would love to show her this. Like, show her Rivet, you know? We're still breaking those glass ceilings when it comes to, you know, showing strong females to girls. And, like, we got Rey in Star Wars, which is awesome. And, you know, to see Rivet here is another awesome little thing that I just
agreed.
I loved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So besides that, the combat thing, you can grind rails with your grind boots, which is pretty much like the same thing as past Ratchet games. You have the mag boots for the magnetic kind of floors or whatnot to add a little bit extra depth to traversal. Yeah. But the cool things that Rift Apart gave us. One is a similar thing to a mechanic in Crack in Time, is the Clank dimension puzzles. I love those. I love puzzles in games and figuring them out. And I think for the most part, those Clank puzzles are pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that. I got some really bad indigestion out of nowhere. Oh. That was really unprofessional of you. My apologies.
No, you're good. The Clank puzzles are great, in addition to like the glitch, a little robot virus thing, which is another mini game that happens. I really dug those as well.
Yeah. Those, there was only one that stumped me. I think it was like the last one as well, but like those puzzles were fun. Like those puzzles were legitimately super interesting. And I usually, with me and puzzles, Kyle, you know me, I don't deal with them. I hate them.
Yeah.
These never really got in the way. And the cool thing, too, there's a scene with a character named Glitch, who's like a little nanobot that you hack into these machines. She had a subplot.
Instantly reminded me of the Spider-Man version in Spider-Verse.
Yes.
I forgot what her name was in that movie. But
Penny,
yeah.
Right?
Penny, yes. I believe,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Penny Parker, yeah. And her mech. Yeah, same here. They oh my god. But that scene, I know a lot of people were getting a little sick with. And
I get that.
Yeah, I get that, because you're playing with the levels in very interesting. It's like a it's literally like you're moving in a Rubik's Cube. And
absolutely, yeah.
You could just skip that entirely by just pressing pause. The accessibility in this game is unreal. It's amazing. Yeah, so,
absolutely. Yeah.
And none of the trophies are also, none of those trophies are either tied to, like, any accessible options as well. So, like,
yeah.
You don't have to feel guilty if you need to skip something or you have to skip something. It's just there for you, which I think is super
cool. For, I wouldn't even say for the most part. The trophy list is fantastic.
Yeah.
Very easy to do.
You can get it in 20 hours.
Absolutely. It's well worth it as well, because it's a lot of fun. The cool thing that I do want to highlight before we talk about just like how gosh darn beautiful this game looks, I want to talk about the in-game like lore things in the menu, because I don't know if you really went through them a whole lot.
I never touched them.
Oh, Joe.
Am I missing something?
Oh, you're missing a couple of really cool things. For example, if you go to the character of the sheep, which is a thing from past games, the Sheepinator, that he can turn enemies into sheep. That sheep is actually a villain of an old Ratchet game.
Really?
In the card, it was like, yeah, this is, so I forgot, I think it's Drek, Emperor Drek or something, which is super cool. But then the Lombax Lord. Lore stuff that you have to pick up, the little orbs that give you, that is basically the Lombax, forgot his name, damn it, but the one that is telling you where they're going and what their plan is and hop into different dimensions and whatnot. One of those is talking about the Jak and Daxter dimension and how he hopped there, and there were this weird looking guy that has like this yellowish green hair standing on two legs and has this wise talking buddy sidekick on his shoulder the whole time. I was like, oh my god, that's so cool that they actually did go to the Jak and Daxter dimension and world to find a suitable home for the Lombaxes in their history of whatever. So like, I love that they hide these little bits of really cool things, Easter eggs, in the audio logs and the different character bios and whatnot. It was really cool. Even in the credit scene as well, like where it was like all the storybook stuff, like the hand drawing credits where it shows what happens after the game. There's a couple of characters that popped up in there that are from previous Ratchet games that were cool to see them because they weren't in the game.
I legitimately have to look at this, because that was something where I'm like, I don't like to read, and so I pieced out of like immediately.
I get that.
That's awesome though. I I'm sorry, continue.
I was just gonna say, let's get into just again, gorgeous game.
Yeah,
absolutely gorgeous. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what makes it so gorgeous, because it does look like what I expect next gen to look like. But there's something about it, and I think it has to do with we're in the world of lighting and HDR really giving a different feel to worlds. And I think the Pirate Worlds is a great example of that.
My favorite planet.
It's so good.
It is fucking hilarious. All of it is like, this is when I crafted my tweet of like, I think I'm playing a perfect video game. Because it was legitimately like, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah.
I forgot what the Kraken's name was. What was it, Bob?
Something like that. Something stupid.
But even at the end, like, the Pirate Trials was literally a broken down Disneyland.
Yes.
It's a Small World ride that you had to go through, which I really, really dug.
It's fucking Waterworld. It's great.
My other standout, Joe, and I was like, oh my god, this is, like, pretty close to horror, is the BlizzCon world or whatever, where you have, there's a bot on there, and he was like, oh yeah, that's my friend Juice, and it's just this really terrifying creature, and the lighting in there, Joe, was so horrifying.
Yeah,
because it was so dark, but the lighting hit boxes in a certain way, and I would have loved to see them do like a horror scary thing in there.
It like reminded Dead
Space. That's for sure what I thought of.
That's actually a great analogy. It is, I believe it's Cordelion.
Yeah, that's right. Because you had to hit the Blizz crystals to go back and forth.
And you needed that one, the one I think Scrapbot. And like the beast that lives there, it did give Juice. Me like Juice. Gave me Last of Us Part 2 vibes when you're in the medical facility.
Absolutely.
I'm like, fuck, I hate all of this. So, I'm 110% with you there. They hit some various tones I was very surprised that this game went for and succeeded in doing so, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Was there a world that, or a type of planet that you wish they put in there or you would like to see from a future game? Because I have one.
So, I will say this game is short. You can beat it in 15 hours.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's still worth your $70. I 100%. Do wish they explored a little bit more, like added a planet or two in. But the biomes are all uniquely different. Like, you got that urban area that is Nefaria City. You got the green, open green hill zone that is Outpost 51 in Sargasso. You have technically the hub world. Which is, you know, Xerxes' place. Savali is a great desert arid feel. The mines is a really awesome just mind fuck volcano with galactic stuff, like a lot of it. The desert town, which is Torin 4
with the fixer.
Like awesome. So like every area they hit really well.
And the prison one, too, I thought looked really cool. A lot of neon pinks and purples and lightning in the background was really cool. The one that I wish they did.
What's that?
So I'm a sucker for a water world. I would love to see, like, an underwater kind of Ratchet world where... Because there is only one section where Ratchet is under the water.
That is true.
It uses the breathing apparatus thing from past games. So.
And I'm just thinking as like the amateur game dev that I is, like, how do you make that? That would have to be like a major function you're constantly hitting in order to put that much time and effort to make that thing possible. Underwater section? That would be nuts.
Sure.
But you're right. That would be sick because they play with gravity a lot in this dimension stuff. That'd be an interesting area.
Sure. I think that's the only... Because even in one of them, I think it's the same one with Juice and the Scrapbot. There is some snow and some cold, wintry areas. The only thing really missing is like a water kind of level for platforming. In addition to, I love how this game ends with the final boss fight. Just because of... We've been in this city so many times in past games. And to see the destruction all around you and Emperor Nefarious trying his best to take over every dimension, which is what his end goal is, and having him in that giant mech and you're fighting him through the portals when he reaches through was cool. And even that last end battle I thought was so visually stunning.
Yeah.
With the robot falling behind him and he's just kind of floating there and you have all your... previous enemies, all the goons and stuff that you were fighting are now on your side, fighting alongside you. And with like Kit in the background flying through the final battle, like helping you out. God, it was so cool. What a spectacle.
Dude, that was such an awesome scene too, because you're seeing Nefarious Prime get his ass kicked for the first time. And like he's going crazy because he's never experienced loss. So, like, yeah. he doesn't know how to handle it. And you see it. And, like, everything's come together. Rivet has her missing piece, and he's losing now. And I absolutely, I love that. And it opens up future Ratchet. And it got me, as I'm playing this game, I'm like, what are they going to call the future games? Because it can't be Ratchet and Clank anymore. It has to be Ratchet, Clank, Rivet, and Kit. Or Ratchet and Rivet. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's exciting because it turns the series into something a little bit more for people. I think that's
fucking awesome. I would not, Joe, be upset with what they did with Spider-Man.
Oh, I would be
have a Ratchet and then a Rivet thing as its own separate experience. Not like because it's shorter or whatnot. Just have them two go off on their own little things.
Yeah.
And still be involved in each other's games, but
yeah, I know. I do like how Rivet and Ratchet bounce off each other because they don't technically like are they friends? Kind of, but by association, but like they are so similar that they kind of butt heads. And I like that dynamic. I'd like to see that play out. But like I wouldn't mind if I see a Rivet and Kit game a year from now.
Sure,
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know what the next game's going to be. They're going to go after the Lombaxes.
Oh, yeah, and it opens up for another, like, 16 to 19 games, you know?
Yeah, for sure. This series is going to be very strong.
Yeah.
Keep going
it's
for a very long time.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, I guess the one thing that we didn't touch upon is two things. The sound in this game is fucking crazy. Play this game with headphones, for the love of God, please. Mm. Secondly, the DualSense. My goodness gracious. Each weapon does feel and sound different. It's not just heavy shakes. Some of it is like with the chain gun, but even then it feels different. It's fantastic, Kyle. I love it.
Yeah. Between this and Returnal, where like pulling the trigger halfway down to like aim or charge and then all the way to unleash the weapon.
Yeah, unleash
the beast. I think it's so cool. It really is awesome, and DualSense hands down best controller in the biz.
Yeah. I'm honestly, the more PlayStation exclusives, not even just non-PlayStation exclusives, like playing Scarlet Nexus, and when they take advantage of that controller, my goodness gracious, it's not even a contest. This thing is amazing. But I think you're right. I think visually, the thing that takes it home here as well, just getting a little messy here, my apologies, is the lighting, but not just the lighting. It's the animation work. That's what really stands this game out from the others. Because, like, you see independent fur just moving in different directions so fluidly as you're moving and as the wind moves against you, how joints and movement just feels or you see off different characters. Even some of the more robotic, like seeing how their arms and legs, like, oscillate from each other is really, really mind-blowing. Especially when you get to the Tyrannosaurus Rex dudes. I'm like, this is stupidly impressive. They don't need to go this hard. And they are.
Yeah, they don't. You just brought up something else, another little ding for this game.
Oh, no.
I wish when it came to boss fights that they were a little bit more varied.
Yes.
It was the same robot dude over and over again, and it was the same dinosaur, Grunthor's enemies. I wish there was more variety in between every world. I wish there was like a planet boss that was distinct to that planet, and not just these nefarious robots coming in and trying to stop you and capture you. Fair. It makes sense for the plot, but I just wish there was more like big giant enemy to like the secret peed, even though that was also on Sargasso. That was cool, but besides that one,
I get it.
There's like not many two and big
you
bosses.
Can break them for the most part, other than the boss you just mentioned. I'm bad at names tonight, my goodness.
Secret bead, yeah.
They're very easy to break because all you need to do is throw a whole bunch of those apocalypse bots and then Mr. Fungi and Mrs. Fungi at them. And then you just throw the topiary sprinkler. That's gonna just murder that health bar a good 30-40%, and you don't even have to shoot. You're just wasting them. So I totally get that. I think that is the only ding I really have thinking about this game and being divorced from it about a week or so. Or sorry, like no, as of recording, like 2 or 3 weeks from this game. It's that's the only thing I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Another real small thing is collecting the collectibles I thought was fun, although the Krager Bears or Krager Bear collectibles, very small.
Yes.
Very hard to find and see in the world. But other than that, I love when you collect the shiny gold bolts, they unlock like cool little cheats and stuff in the game.
Like big head mode and stuff.
Yeah, which I didn't mess with, but I did mess with, like, you can change the bolts and nuts to jewels or coins or, like, traditional other video game stuff. You can change the look of your wrench and Rivet's hammer. Unlimited ammo, which is how I did the rhino thing at the end for the, just spamming it constantly just to see what I could get. Like, it kind of breeds into, like, the accessibility thing where if you want to just have fun and have it be a video game and do cool, crazy looking things, then you can, and you won't be penalized for it as far as like trophies go or just enjoyment of the game, I think is really cool. And even the filters I didn't mess with a whole lot, but there was one called Retro Video, I think, and it looked like a VHS tape. Like it was pretty great.
That's where, for the most part, other than like changing their melee weapon up a little bit, that's where I actually didn't touch this game because I was like, I don't want to fool around or miss something from this game. Like, I just want to see how they want me to see it.
Yeah. That's going to be my challenge mode playthrough, is me messing with those things, because even then, like, you're going to be even more rewarded because now you have Omega versions of the weapons that you can upgrade all the way up to level 10 and they do cooler things still. Like, it's awesome.
And I beat this game and I was still playing it, and I platinum this game and I was still playing it. That should speak to how good this fucking game is, guys. Absolutely. Like, I'm in New Game Plus and I am thoroughly enjoying myself doing the same thing I did last game and having way, way more fun because I have all the guns with me from the get. Like, amazing.
Yeah. And if you've listened to this whole episode, I don't think we need to drag it on anymore. It's a platinum. Go buy this game full price. What are you waiting for? Go play it, buy it, support it.
This game got me thinking about, and I don't know if it got you thinking about it at all, what is a perfect game? It doesn't have to be necessarily one that you're like over the moon for. You could just take a look at it and go, wow, that's like, it doesn't even have to be your game of the year or whatever. Like, when I take a look at my perfect game, because I was like playing this, I'm like, no game has made me feel this way, like jolly, happy, like a kid again. Ever. Like Ash, don't get me wrong, I love Asher's Playroom. That would that could hit me in the nostalgia. This shit made me feel like I was 10.
Yeah.
And like, it and made me want to find a DeLorean ASAP.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right there. Is when I think of perfect video game, I think of a way to get younger kids in on video games for a whole new generation and have them become a fans. And what are you going to show them as to be like, here is what games can be and what, how fun they are. And I think, Rift Apart is easily one of those showpieces to be like, hey, you want to know what video games are all about? Check this out. And when you get older, we'll show you more serious things with like a deeper story. And, but like, this is,
we'll show you dude get his head chopped off. But until then.
Exactly.
With a chainsaw, Dad? Of course, with a chainsaw.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll teach you about the T-virus. Don't you worry.
But yeah, like I was thinking, I'm like, dude, I think this is like the kid equivalent of God of War. It's like, if I was 9 years old, I'm like, I think I just played the perfect game, Mom and Dad. They'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's on another level.
My mom and dad would be like, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Little Kyle. Oh, really? Good for you. All right.
Pay your taxes. I'm 9 years old, Mom. I don't think I can. You could try.
Yeah.
So for me, it got me thinking of that. And I'm like, yeah, it's like this God of War, Bloodborne. I got to stay on brand.
Spider-Man.
Like, Spider-Man. Jeez, like, it's just like, Insomniac, we don't deserve you.
No.
Don't deserve you.
Nope. Not at all. Yeah. So, again, go play this game. Absolutely is in my contention for Game of the Year. The front runner, actually, for me. Yeah.
Same. Likewise.
It's going to be hard to top. But like, there's a lot of games. If Horizon comes out this year,
it's got to pull some fucking weight.
Yeah, it does.
Because I'm, like, I'm not joking with you. I saw one comment this... I permission to have just one small rant, sir.
Go for it. We have time on this road trip. Go ahead.
I saw one comment. I spent 2 weeks on this game. I could have went faster for the platinum, but I decided to stop. It's just too short of an experience.
Excuse me?
I can't justify $100 and whatever. Is there like Australian, I think?
Sure. Okay.
And I'm like, okay. You should have started with games cost over $100. Yeah. Because, like, for me, I'm like, guys, can we get over it? It's 10 extra bucks. And I know I sound like one of those streamers, like, what's $5? But, like, seriously, yeah, we're talking about 10 extra fucking bucks for something that you know you're going to get. It's going to be fucking good. Like, yeah, I have not played a PlayStation 5 game and went, man, this is more like a $60 experience. Like, no, I'm like, money well spent. In fact, you could have more. No, I'm kidding. You have this and that's enough. Like, I played this. I beat this in 5 days. Like, what are we monetizing? The time spent or the time we're having while we're having that time? Like, if I have a game, like I'm playing Scarlet Nexus, right? That game to plat is about 70 hours to beat.
Oh boy.
At 40. I want it to fucking end now and I'm at hour 15. Right? So like I could say, oh yeah, that's money well spent, but I'm not nearly enjoying myself as the small time, quote unquote, that I had with Ratchet and Clank. Quality over the quantity of hours. Seriously.
For sure.
You could have a really long game that's really great. That's The Witcher 3. Or you could have a really long game that's buggy as shit, and that's Cyberpunk 2077. Which one would you rather play?
Absolutely.
Which one would you not mind spending $60? It's about the quality that these devs are presenting to you, and then the price point attached to it. If Hades is a $70 game, that changes things. But because it's $20, $25... That's a different conversation, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, that was my rant.
No, you're good. No, I'm with you.
And also bring Serfdom back.
God, no. On that note, get in the car, Joe. All right. Thanks for joining us on this brief exit or moment. Rest stop. There you go. Yeah. This brief rest stop on the road to greatness. Thank you all to our patrons who make this show possible. We love you very, very much. And until next time, buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Bye-bye.